Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It was the toughest day in my 20-plus years as a journalist here in Minnesota. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. It was, 18 years ago today, at this moment, I was sitting in the WCCO-TV newsroom. I thought I was going to be doing a story about how the farmers market on Nicollet Mall was canceling their Wednesday night farmers markets because it was so hot that summer, so dry. I had no idea, nor did anyone who at this moment, 18 years ago, was maybe about to leave work, drive home from downtown Minneapolis, head to Northeast, head to the suburbs, head home, over a bridge that most of us didn't even recognize as the 35W Bridge. Couldn't see the river from there. There was no noteworthy architecture. It's just a bridge. Didn't think about it. We all drove over bridges every day. You never thought about it. You never thought they would fail. You never thought that hundreds of people would be hurt, their lives forever changed, when the 35W Bridge in Minneapolis fell, collapsed, failed, right into the Mississippi River. Just after six, I was still sitting in the newsroom because the farmers were out in the field. So I was sort of failing on my story that day. When we heard a call over the police scanner that a bridge had collapsed in the river. And we didn't believe it. We didn't believe it. Because why would you? How could a bridge in 2007 collapse in the river? Just didn't make sense. Thought maybe it was a sinkhole or a pothole or a buckled pavement in the heat, something like that. Frankly, when we heard it was the 35W Bridge, we didn't even know, was that sort of little bridge that connects the University of Minnesota to downtown Minneapolis? But I walked out of the newsroom because downtown TV station wasn't that far from the river. I just thought I'd walk. And sitting in his news car was Brad Early, a photographer who at 6:10 was doing like a lot of people do when you have a shift that ends at 6:30. He was sitting there running out the clock. And thank God he was sitting there running out the clock because Brad's route home would have put him right on that bridge. We head towards like where the American Red Cross building is on the Mississippi River front. And there are times in your career as a journalist when you respond to breaking news that you hear the sirens behind you. You hear the cavalry coming behind you. I remember a point right at the intersection where there's a Dunn Brothers, right near sort of where Awamni is and all of that along the riverfront. And the light was red. And Brad looks at me and I'm like, Brad, we can run the light. If the bridge really collapsed, no one's going to arrest us for running a red light. And we pull up and I get out the cell phone, which in 2007 did not have a camera, did not have any ability to go live. And I called the WCCO TV control room.
Yeah, Frank, I just got here. The scene is pretty unbelievable. I'm looking at a huge fire. It appears a tractor trailer is on fire here where this part of the bridge collapsed. Looks like the bridge has collapsed both in the northbound and the southbound lanes, and it looks like just a total failure of the bridge.
A lot of those parents have gotten their kids, Amelia. We saw many of the kids starting to leave here. The staff member who
started
was on
a night
told me that they were just at the beach
of nonstop coverage.
He said
when I was there, I saw people carrying other people up the side of the hill from the river. But because it was August, and the trees had all their leaves, we didn't fully see just how bad it was until the helicopters got up and you got a real sense of it. There's an interview I did that day that still stays with me. And part of what happened for me that day, and I think what happened to so many other people who went down there, because remember there was a Twins game going on that night. There was rain, there was lightning, there was incredible heat, summer heat. And we all saw, and if you lived here at that time, part of what's amazing in talking about this is that with 18 years passing, you think if you are 27 and younger, this is something that was in the history books. If you're new to town, maybe you heard about it, but you didn't experience it. But for those of us that were in that area, and certainly those of you who were on the bridge, that day sits, it sits with me. And a lot of it is because that school bus, there was a school bus on the bridge on an angle where the bridge had collapsed. And that bus, we were all nervous, right? Because what had happened with the kids on the bus? At the same time, you heard me talk about that truck that was on fire and that driver was killed. But we didn't know immediately what had happened to the kids. As the night developed, we had learned that these were little kids. They were on a field trip to Bunker Beach. And I remember another reporter who arrived later that night, and we saw when the kids were sort of released to their parents. And he yelled at me me to go chase down these like 8 and 9 year old kids. And I wasn't going to do it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And he starts yelling at me, this is our job. This is our job. I'm like, go ahead, man. I'm like, I live here. I am not chasing down a third or fourth grader who was just on the bridge while it collapsed. But I did see parents hugging this teenager. Later, I learned that teenager's name was Jeremy Hernandez. And I talked to him in the hours after he was on that bus with those kids.
So you're coming from a day at the beach, you still have your towel.
Yeah. And
all of a sudden.
just we heard crashing, and then like four big, like we went over some bumps or something, and then we just stopped, and then you could feel the bus going backwards.
How many kids were on that bus?
About 60.
And what was it like in there?
Screaming, everybody was scared, nobody was moving, but they were all screaming, "We're gonna go in the river, we're gonna go in the river."
Did you think you were gonna go in the river?
I wasn't trying to go, and I just hopped over the back and opened the back of the door and then started helping them off the bus.
How many kids do you think you helped?
All of them, because I was at the back door making sure they didn't fall out and tumble down.
I feel like I can hear Jeremy saying, "All of them." And I feel like I've heard that every day in my head for the last 18 years. This kid, in a moment where you never know what you're going to do, you think you know what you're going to do, but you don't know. Are you going to rise to the occasion? Are you going to be able to help all these kids out, freaking out? And you're a kid yourself. What amazes me about that young man is that I don't think he's ever done an interview. It's been 18 years. So Jeremy is 36. I think about him often. I have talked to family members of his, but I've never talked to Jeremy since this day. But that interview, it just sticks with me. It is a reminder of how in these moments, people do step up. And I wanted to spend some time talking about this. First of all, you can hear it in my voice, I think, like how affected I still am talking about it. In that moment, I did not process this in a what today I would consider a healthy way. So I'll talk a little bit about that. If you have memories of where you were when the bridge collapsed, when you learned about it, I'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Drive Time will continue on the 18th year, 18 years later, after the 35W bridge collapse here on CCO.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
18 years ago, just a tragedy that at the time was unthinkable, right? Just after 6 p.m., so a couple hours from now, 13 people killed, 145 injured. When I was out there covering it, I thought for sure there were going to be 100 people dead. For sure. And there was a lot of construction going on the bridge that day. And that ended up being a lifesaver, I think, right? Because people were moving fairly slowly, one lane. And because they were moving fairly slowly, many of them rode the bridge down. So as the bridge collapsed and goes flying down into the Mississippi River, a lot of the cars rode it down. So imagine if people were going highway speed. Think of how fast and crazy people drive today. If they were going at those speeds and the bridge collapsed, you'd have just cars flying into each other. So that was a very lucky break on really a scary and awful night. And I still remember that feeling. And Dan, I know you were here on the radio. And that night, like the WCCO radio reporting, because of the fact that you had overhead traffic reports, you know, at that time we had to scramble over at TV. We had to scramble our helicopter. It took a while.
Yeah.
And the radio, you guys had the overhead view that really communicated the scope of this damage so quickly.
Yeah, it was interesting because that was still a period of time where we were carrying the WCCO television news on the radio.
Oh, that's right.
So we were in the midst of the news, and I'm sitting here. I actually had dinner cooking in the commissary here at the radio station. I had gotten a call and didn't think anything of it. I chuckled earlier when you talked about road buckling because I had a call from somebody who was in the area that said, hey, I think we had a big road buckle here near the 35W bridge. You guys might want to check that out. Which, again, because it was so hot that summer, you know, road buckling was a thing. And, you know, okay, fine. It wasn't a big deal, but I thanked the person and went on my way, not thinking anything of it until here comes Jeff McKinney, former news anchor here, hurtling into the studio saying, we've got a bridge in the water. You got to get me on the air right now. And of course, I'm trying to process that in real time. Well, okay, so we get him on. And then, yeah, I forget what the traffic reporter's name was. Lindsay Peterson may text me here in a second with it. But we had a guy up in a plane that was, you know, reporting for various stations. And that plane was circling around the area. And I remember vividly the sound of his voice as he's breaking down on the air, trying to describe what's going on. Because as you just, again, when you see that scene, when you see the pictures of it, when you see just the devastation of that area, the fact, and I don't want to minimize the death of the 13 people that perished that day at all, but the fact that only 13 people died was astonishing, because we all had the same thought that you did, which is there's going to be hundreds or more people that are dead in this thing, because think of how many people must be on that bridge at that time of day. And then, like you said, as you process through things with the road construction and so on and so forth, it turned out not to be that case, thank God. But it was one of those moments in this job where everything else stops.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that you're talking about for the next couple of days. And it's still, I remember that day vividly, even 18 years later.
One of the things that for me, I had this belief that everyone needed to come and see it. There was a little pushback that people were coming down and sort of gawking at it.
Sure.
And I had a different view that it was so important for everyone in Minnesota to see it, to physically see how bad it is. So we made sure this never happened again. That watching the images on TV, looking at the photos that were in the newspaper, that was not enough. You needed more. You needed to see it. And so at this time, you have to remember 18 years ago, like the conversations about mental health as it relates to journalism were not happening.
As it relates to a lot of things.
And a lot of things.
Yeah.
But there was this sort of partial survivor's guilt, I wasn't one of the firefighters swimming in the river. Those folks deserve to have struggles with this. I was just reporting. And Alyssa was very pregnant with Sam. And poor Alyssa, I'm like, I really think you should see the bridge. So I look back and I'm like, I had a 2-year-old son, Seth, and I'm dragging my pregnant wife and my 2-year-old son on a Saturday to see this.
Is that just part of your need to try and process what you've gone through? Is that if I share this experience with my family, somehow that helps me deal with it?
I think that was part of it. It was a ridiculous way to deal with it. Today, I think I know today I would have reached out for help. And showing up day after day after day was not, it was the only way I knew how to process it.
Sure.
And I would sort of go there and have a moment. And I was a nighttime reporter, so I'd go kind of out of my way to go there before I went to work. And then I go to work. And I wasn't telling anyone about it. I was just doing it. And that's a little screwed up. You know, today you look at it, you're like, that was not a healthy way to sort of cope and to deal with it. There are so many people with stories of like, I stopped at a restaurant. Like Betty says, I was on my way to visit my mom, who was just admitted to a nursing home. Instead of eating at home, I decided to eat at a fast food restaurant just off the Johnson Street exit. The bridge collapsed about 25 minutes after I went across.
No.
And you have so many of those stories. And because there was that Twins game that night, and remember, so one of the craziest things that happened to me that night, that interview with Jeremy Hernandez that we just played a couple minutes ago, we at that time were broadcasting using microwave. You've seen like in the movies, the TV news truck with the big stick in the air.
Yep.
Well, when the lightning came over, we had to put the mask down. And so we couldn't broadcast. And there is a kid on a bike because like people were coming to see it. And you had the Twins game and you had downtown and people were getting out of work and all this stuff. So this like teenager on a bike is pouring rain. I have this interview in my hand. I'm like, I go to this kid. I'm like, do you know where Channel 4 is? And he's like, yeah, it's over by like, by Target headquarters or by the orchestra. And I'm like, will you take this tape to the front door of the TV station? And I
just some random kid on a
random
bike?
Kid
who could have taken that tape anywhere.
And this kid looked like, let's go ahead and make your stereotype.
Here we come.
Of a 22-year-old Northeast Minneapolis bike riding, pierced, tattooed, yes, long hair, all the bit.
Yes.
And this kid was like ready to be pressed into action. Like all of us, he wanted to do something and he took it and he brought it back and they aired the interview.
Wow.
But it was this kid, you're like, just the craziness.
We've had a couple of texters write this in and then JP texted me as well. Kevin Plummer was the name of the traffic reporter who was up in the plane for us that night. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but it was, to me, he had kind of the seminal initial report of it from that aerial view that just was absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
And then once, you know, you guys and some other TV stations had copters in the air that were, you know, shooting video of it and we could see just how devastating it was, then you understood.
You understood
why it affected Kevin so much in that moment. Yeah.
Texters, one texter saying that I credited the construction for fewer vehicles going down with the bridge, but wasn't the construction, the weight of the equipment, the material, a significant contributor to the collapse. The official reason for the collapse was a design flaw, that there was a flaw in the gusset plate design. And actually, I think still at the Minnesota History Center, I don't know if they still have it, but at one point, they had the back door of the school bus that was signed by like some of the kids who survived, and they had the gusset plate.
Gusset plate. We all learned what a gusset plate was.
Oh, that, man. And still, story. Like, I think, you know, today, you think about this today, if this happened today, Dan, no one would believe the official explanation. It would be conspiracy theory. And we had enough of that at the time. People wanted to blame the Pawlenty administration for not, you know, maintaining the bridges and everything. And so there are still those who question that
it would be radically worth.
But it'd be so much worse, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thoughts with everybody who survived and all of the families who lost people 18 years ago and those firefighters. And a texter shouts out Mike Martin, another he's a police officer who coordinated some response, and people, all these first responders just went for it, man. This is amazing. Amazing. We're going to break. It is 3:30. We'll talk. We have plenty of Twins talk. We're gonna spend some time to get to know. I'm gonna break down the entire new team. We're not going to do that. But Dan is going to geek out, and it's not going to be about minor league baseball prospects, although I wouldn't be surprised if that was something he would geek out about as well. Gong him or green light? That's coming up here on CCO.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.